Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. I thank you for joining me as we continue on sharing the thoughts about what God is doing in these end times in which we're living. God has, when Jesus departed from this earth, He gave a great commission. And it's all really a matter of how are we going to personally respond to that? Do we just say, well, you know, that's for the pastors, that's for the evangelists, or do we take it as a personal command in whatever dimension God would make possible in our own lives? And for some people, they've said that's too hard a teaching. People really don't want to hear about going to work for the cause of Christ, but instead they'd rather go to church and hear a social gospel. They want a panacea. They want something to make them feel good rather than to roll up our sleeves and to do what we can with the time that we have been given. All of us have a number of days, an appointed time in which we are living and breathing on this earth. And so what will we say when we stand before the Lord? How can we respond to Him when He asks, what do we do with the time that we were given? And so there are those who are hearing the call of the Spirit. They just don't want a social gospel, just a love of God message, something that kind of pats you on the head and makes you feel good about yourself and what God, how much He loves you and what He wants to do for you. All that is true, but we have to take the whole counsel of God. We need to understand God is calling us into higher heights and deeper depths of the power and the knowledge of God, the revelation that the Spirit of God gives. We're hungering. Those who have a heart after God desire a new and a living way. We want to partake of all that He is. I don't know about you, I read the Word of God, and I realize myself, the church as a whole, we've not come into the fullness of what Jesus has said that we could be. All that He is, we're beginning to understand that we really can live a victorious life over sin and evil that Christ has promised us. He's brought us out of the kingdom of darkness, out of that old Adamic sin-cursed nature, into the very nature of Christ. Either what He said was true or it's not. We have to make a decision about that and not just be settled down into our comfortable religious doctrines, but we have to grow in Christ. We have to see old things pass away, that all things can become new. That's who we are in Christ. We are a new creature in Him. Romans 9, verses 6 through 8 says, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Verse 8, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. What is Paul saying here? He's simply stating that it's not their natural affiliation to Israel that will make them the true Israel of God, but that it is of faith that appropriates the promise of redemption, and that one is born again to the ways and means of God as set forth in the Word of God, that whomsoever will experience the adoption, if you will, into the family of God, and they'll be able to cry, Abba, Father. Why? Because we've been grafted into the vine. For the Word of God says, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. A man is born again, so the Lord says, of water and of the Spirit, not as some have believed in days past, but one can only become a new creation by the steps that are ordained and ordered of God. Just as a natural child cannot be conceived and born without certain processes, so also it's true in the body of Christ. John 3:3 says, verily, verily, these are the words of Jesus. And when he says, emphasizes verily, he's emphasizing this is truth. Hear what I'm saying. Verily, verily, I say unto you that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then Romans, the 6th chapter, I'll start reading at verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Hallelujah. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise God. And then in Colossians, the 2nd chapter, I'll start reading at verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, that's Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Praise God. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a shew of them openly, triumphing over them. Praise God. So, beloved, you know, some of us have wandered in the wilderness, in the desert long enough, and you know, even as the church, if you will, Israel in the wilderness experienced the miraculous water out of a rock, and they've had, you know, they had a taste of God's miracles and powers, but as the children of Israel, they weren't allowed to enter into the promised land. Only those, that second generation, those who basically passed from death unto life, who believed God, will enter into the promise as that generation did into the land of Canaan. The children of Israel, throughout their wanderings, they ate of a spiritual meat, the New Testament says, heavenly manna, just as we have received today. But they didn't receive the truth without murmuring. And so even Moses didn't do as God said, and he didn't let Moses enter into the promised land. Neither did the group that for 40 years wandered in the wilderness of doubt and discontent. Even though they saw miracles, still they didn't get in. And so God wants to seal his people, to seal us from this world and transform us into the sons and daughters of God. He has given us so much. He has given us promises. And I'll close with reading some of the beautiful words expressed in the book of Ephesians, that first chapter, verses 2 through 10. Grace be to you and peace from our Lord Jesus Christ and from our Lord, from the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, hear this, with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption, thank God, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Praise God. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Beloved, that's the plan of God. At the end of time, all shall be gathered together, those who have been called by the Spirit of God, who have responded, and then begins a new adventure in the history of mankind. And the work that Jesus wrought on Calvary shall be fulfilled, shall be completed. Jesus said, where I am, you shall be also. What a glorious prospect that is. It gives us strength to look forward, regardless of how we're battled at this point in time. We know the plan that God has for us of joy unspeakable and full of glory. Well, beloved, it's been a privilege to share with you. We'll see what God has for us next time. And until then, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.